The difficult part about this whole arena of research is actually capturing something legitimate on film, on camera. And, you know, I mentioned earlier when I was at the Queen Mary, for example, that I didn't really expect to see much because when you're doing a TV show, it's very rushed and there are many objectives to keep in mind. So when we were doing X-Ops out there in Roswell, I didn't really expect to see anything. I mean, I figured that it would be a great experience, but I had no real belief in the fact that we were going to get something tangible there that we could pass along that was going to, you know, change people's perception of ghosts or aliens. And I've got to be honest with you, I've been a guest on this show many times now. I've been doing research for a long time, and I don't think I've ever built up anything too much and never delivered.
No, you lay it right out there.
Well, thank
That's
you.
That's what I like about you.
And, you know, when we did that seance at Hangar 84, something manifested, and they captured it beautifully on camera. And it's the kind of thing, and I want to be careful what I say because I don't want to get in trouble with Discovery because they don't want me to spoil anything.
Obviously, it's not been aired yet, right?
That's right. It hasn't been aired yet, but I'm telling you, something appeared, and when you see it, it will send a shudder down your spine. Everybody should see this, and we should have the air date for it. I mean, any day now. It's probably going to air this month, but I'd like to tell your listeners, anybody who wants to know when this thing is going to air, just go to either the Genesis Experiment webpage or many of my other ones linked up through coasttocoastam.com. You'll find a place where you can put your email address in our data bank, and this is spam-free. We will not give your address out to anybody. You will get no spam whatsoever, and when I get the air date, I will personally write a message to your listeners and let them know when
Excellent.
This thing is going to air.
You may be writing for the next year.
Well, probably. I mean, once people see this, I've never seen anything like it. I really haven't.
Now, yet. Did you see the anomaly while you were there, or did you see it later, maybe on video, or however you might have captured it?
It was over our heads. So none of us were looking above our heads. We were all looking at each other conducting the seance, and then this thing manifested over our heads. One of the crew members dropped to the floor. I mean, this is just a cameraman who was there shooting this. He dropped to the floor when this happened and started getting nauseated and cramps. I mean, we still don't know exactly what happened to this guy. And so later, when we watched the footage, only then did we see this appear over our heads.
You mean instead of manning his camera, he falls to the floor?
Yeah, he fell completely to the floor. I mean, it was almost a call 911 situation. I mean, it took everybody a while to realize what was happening here because everybody was wrapped up on the seance in terms of focusing at that point. And then when this guy went down, it took everybody a second to realize what was happening. And then we watched this footage later, and, I mean, it coincides with this manifestation. And I think that's a good example of how some people are more sensitive to whatever change occurs in the environment when these things materialize.
It makes you really wonder, Joshua, what happened at Roswell in 1947, doesn't it?
Well, you know, before I got involved with this project, the concept of UFOs and aliens always seemed a little bit disconnected for me, frankly, because it seemed like something way out there that I could never really get a grasp on directly. And then when I went to Roswell, especially as I was mentioning when I was standing there, you know, feeling the sand where this thing crashed, it personalized it for me. And if you start looking at just the chain of events alone in terms of the Roswell situation, I mean, the most secret project that the United States has ever worked on that we have admitted publicly is the Manhattan Project. And where do they choose to develop this? In New Mexico at Los Alamos.
Yep, exactly.
Then in 1945, we had the first nuclear detonation. Almost exactly 2 years later, something crashed out there in that desert, not far from the base where we had the best aviators in the world, the people who dropped the atomic bombs, where the Enola Gay was stored. And then we have, of course, this press release coming out, which states, I think, four times that there was a flying disc, and they didn't make any bones about it. They didn't say, we might have a disc, we're not sure. They said, we have a disc here. And then, of course, the general comes out and says, no, 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 it was just a weather balloon, which is an insult to the intelligence of these fine aviators who saw it, who were used to dealing with secret matters. And then we have, only days later, I think it was about 18 days later, Truman signed the National Security Act, creating the Air Force, the CIA, the National Security Council, giving unprecedented power to the government to keep things secret regarding aircraft. And even today, the government admits there was a cover-up of some kind. I mean, they say, well, we were looking at, you know, Russian technology through Project Mogul. And you have all these people who, just before they died, came out and said, no, let me tell you, this was real. We had alien bodies there. And you have people like Lieutenant Colonel Philip J. Corso, a year before he died, he published this book saying that lasers, fiber optics, microchips, night vision, Kevlar, all this stuff is the product of back engineering technology. And so at very least, when you look at the timing of these events connected to the Roswell incident, and you place it into historical context, that alone is compelling, to say the least.